Sisters, welcome to another episode of Hadassah Speaks. I am your host, Hadassah, called into the kingdom for such a time as this. And the song playing, the intro song, is The Heart of the Father by Ryan Ellis. I'd like to wish you all a happy Mother's Day for those that are the mothers, because today is Sunday, May 14th, 2023. And it is Mother's Day. So once again, I'd like to wish you all a happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a wonderful day today. Hope the kids bless you and bless you real good. Some of you probably had some graduations yesterday, or maybe you'll have graduations today, but you'll probably go out to dinner, get flowers, all these things that you so deserved, being the awesome and wonderful mothers that you are. And if you are not a mother and you happen to be a father or a gentleman listening, welcome, welcome, welcome. Anyway, there will be a word for you as well today. So as I was up thinking, what kind of message, what can I talk about today? And I've done a few Mother's Day messages in the past. As a minister, I've had the pleasure of addressing the women on Mother's Day. And when I think about mothers, I think about the job that we have as a mother of four myself. I think about how important of a job it is, really, and what a privilege it is for us to be able to carry life on the inside of us and to be able to birth that life and watch it grow up and nurture it and train it, all the things that God has tasked us to do as women. And you know, it's not an easy job. You know, every child has his own personality, and there's so many outside influences, and we do the best that we can to raise our children and not mess them up. And I know that none of us are perfect, and we may not have done all things right, and you kind of learn as you go, and as you get older. And hopefully by the time you get to the last child, you perfected it a little bit. But that first one, you know, you're kind of feeling your way some. And we don't always do things right. But hopefully it's coming from a heart of love and concern for our babies. You know, I've got two adult children. Sounds weird to say, because when I think about myself, you know, I kind of, on the inside, I'm still that young girl. But I have two grown kids, and you still look at them, or I still look at those, as my babies. But when I start to think about a message and what can I talk about today, when I think about Mother's Day, it's just, you know, a couple of women come to mind from Scripture. A couple of women come to mind from Scripture. Of course, you have Jesus. Is Mother Mary, and the great sacrifice that she made for the world, for the entire world, and the amount of strength that that had to take. And then I also think about Moses' mother, who to save his life had to give him up. So she had to make some hard decisions and to save him. And then I think about the Shunammite woman, and that's who we're going to talk about today. And I've spoken about this in the past, but she really speaks to my heart as a mother. Not that the other two don't, but when I think of her and what she did for her own son, I just think she speaks to my heart. That she resonates with me. So we're going to go to We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, and it starts at verse 8. So this is about Elisha, the prophet Elisha, and the Shunammite woman. So one day Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, and I'm reading from, normally I read from the King James Version, but this is the English Standard Version. It says, one day Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. So you have this woman who had heard about Elisha, and she wanted to take care of Elisha, and she offered him some food. And every time he would come by, she would feed him. And then one day she decided, you know what, I don't want to just feed him. I think that we ought to build a room over the house for this man of God. And her husband agreed, and they made a special room for him to stay in when he was passing through. And just out of the goodness of her heart, wanting to bless the man of God. And so that did not go unnoticed by Elisha. He appreciated that. And so we're going to jump on down to verse 11. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? You've taken good care of us. You know, so what is there something that I can do for you? Is there something that you want? And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. Verse 14. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, truly or verily, she have no child, and her husband is old. So she really wasn't doing what she was doing for anything. She wasn't trying to get anything from the prophet. She just wanted to bless the prophet. But he was so blessed by her gesture that he said, you know, I want to do something for her. And she, you know, most times if you ask somebody, there's something I can do for you, they'll come up with something. But she didn't come up with anything. So Gehazi, I'm not sure exactly which way to pronounce that, but said, well, you know what? I noticed that she doesn't have a child. The times that we've been here, haven't seen a child around, and she's got an old husband. And so verse 15, and he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. So when he said to her that next year, by this time, you're going to be embracing a baby, you're going to have a child. And she's, you know, kind of in shock. She didn't ask for that. And he's like, don't lie to me now. Now, do not lie unto me. In verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day, and he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. So Elijah prophesied that she would have a child. She had that child. The child grew. And then one day the child is out with his father. And he complains to his father about a headache, or his head is hurting. And the first thing his father says is, take him to his mama. Take him to his mother. Now, it's something, it for me as a mother, that line really, really speaks to me, because it's some comfort that we have that nobody else has as mothers for our children. And so when they're feeling bad, when they're sick, they come into you. they want to go to their mother, even though mama don't have the healing, or she, you know, she may be able to give them some medicine, but it's something about just being in the presence of mama when I don't feel well. And then moms tend to have this way of making things better. And if they don't, they can pretend to make things better. But it's something in us as mothers where we want our kids to be all right. And when they come to us, we want to offer that comfort that they're seeking. And so apparently dad didn't know what to do. All I know is I'm out here at work. Take him to his mama. And he was comfortable saying that. He trusted that if he went to mama, that everything was going to be okay. Verse 20. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon. Just pay attention to what's happening. So he gets there to his mama, and she just got him on her lap. Just sitting there, sat on her knees. He's just sitting there. And he sat there till noon. I don't know how early in the morning it was. I don't know how many hours that was that he was sitting on her lap. But it says he sat there till noon. And then died. Now, he didn't know that he was going to die. All he knows, he had a headache. But he's dying right there with his mama. Comfort. In the comfort or on the lap of his mother. And he's got some type of peace while he's sitting there. And if he's scared, she's there. She's comforting him. Just being close to his mother. Verse 21. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. It doesn't say she broke down and cried. It doesn't say she screamed out at the ceiling. It says that when he died, she laid him on the bed of the man of God. She wasn't accepting that death. I'm going to go and lay him right here. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore will you go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Now, she didn't even tell her husband. She did not speak those words out of her mouth that her son had died. She just put that baby on the bed in the room that she had made for Elisha the prophet, the man of God. And she goes to her husband and asks for something to ride on. And he says, where are you going? Why? Why are you going to see the man of, why are you going to see the man of God? It's not a new moon. And it's not the Sabbath. And she still didn't say nothing about the fact that our son just died. She didn't tell him our son just died. She said, it shall be well. She didn't say it is well. She said it shall be well. Because in her heart of hearts, she believed that this man of God had the power to get a prayer through. So she said in her mind, I ain't giving up. I'm not letting it go right here. I know what my eyes see, but in my heart of hearts, I'm not accepting this. And so verse 24, and if you hadn't noticed, I switched back to the King James because that's just my preference. Verse 24. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Don't slow down. Don't slack the rider for me, except I bid thee. You just ride. Don't worry about how the ride is. Don't try to go slow. Don't try to be too gentle. Just ride unless I say something different. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite woman. He said, look, here comes a Shunammite woman. Verse 26, run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. So he said, go run to meet her and ask her, is everything okay? Is everything okay with her? Is everything okay with her husband? Is everything okay with the child? Now, she answered, it is well. She's speaking what she wants to see. She know her son is laying there dead, but she's not accepting that. She's speaking what she wants to see. It is well. Verse 27, and when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord have hid it from me, and have not told me. So even though Elisha is a prophet and hears from God and tends to be able to know if God wants him to know, then he will tell him what's going on. But in this case, only thing that he can see is that she's in distress. I see she's in distress. She's kind of vexed in her spirit, but I can't put my finger on what is going on. But something is not right. She's going to come all this way, and I can see that something is not right. But she just falls at his feet and grabs him. Verse 28, then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Do you remember you gave me that? You said I was going to have a son, and I told you, don't lie to me now. If it's going to be so, or if it ain't going to be so, don't lie. Are you sure I'm going to have this? Don't lie. Verse 29, then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If you meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. So I want you to go. Take this staff. Don't talk to nobody. On your way, if you run into somebody, I don't want you to say nothing. If they speak to you, don't you speak to them. I need you to stay focused and to take this staff and lay it upon the face of that child. So when she asked him, she didn't tell him what had happened. She didn't tell him what happened. She just said, you know, I told you, didn't I ask you, didn't I desire a son from of son? And I told you, don't deceive me. So right away he knew, okay, something's happened to that boy. For her to come all this way and have this look on her face, something has happened. And so he knew it then. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord, verse 30, and the mother of a child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Yeah, you sent your servant, but I need you to go. So as long as I'm living and you living, I'm not leaving. I'm not going to leave you here. She wanted him to come along. She had that much confidence in the relationship that this man of God has with the God of her father, of the Bible. She had that much confidence in this man of God. And he arose and followed her. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. When it comes to our children and their well-being, a mother is not going to take no for an answer. They're going to push through to get what they need for their child. So yeah, you're sending the servant, but I came for you. I came for you. And I'm not going to leave unless you go with me. Verse 31. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. The child is not awake. It didn't work. I went and laid the staff on him, and he's still laying like he was when I got there. Verse 32. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. Daddy still don't know. Mama not accepting it. The staff, he laid his staff on him, wasn't enough to raise him. But mama still hanging right in there. Verse 33, he went in therefore and shut the door upon them too and prayed unto the Lord. And went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child waxed, became warm. That staff didn't do it. The man of God had to come in with his own flesh and blood body. And mouth to mouth, hand to hand, eye to eye. And lay and prayed and prayed. Verse 35. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. Lord, have mercy. Verse 36, and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Daddy never knew nothing that this child had passed on because mama was not going to take no for an answer. Death. Death, y'all. The boy lay there dead, and she would not say it out of her mouth. She said, it is well. I know what to do. I know how to get him back. And she went and sought out the man of God. This is the heart of a mother. We love our children, and we love them even to the death. But sometimes we ain't ready. Most times we're not ready to accept the death of a child. And at that moment, mama was not ready. But this, for me, it says that a mother will do anything to save the life of their children. Now, we as mothers and the things that our kids are facing, we also have to have that same mindset that I will do whatever it takes to save the life of my child. And I'm talking about the spiritual life, the soul of the child. I will do whatever it takes to make sure that my child is saved. You cannot force it on them, but you can train them in the ways of the Lord. Because the Bible tells us to train them in the way that they should go, and then that when they're old, they won't depart from it. God has given them as a heritage to us. So we have a duty and a responsibility to train up our children. The same way that she felt about her son is how we feel about our own children. Now, we'll do what we can to save their physical life. Many of us, most of us, we will lay down our own lives for our children, for their physical life, to save them so that they're living and breathing and walking in the realm of time. But what about their soul? How much am I willing to do for their soul? For the saving, for the salvation of your child? What are you willing to sacrifice? So you'll sacrifice your life for their life, but what will you sacrifice for their soul? For their soul, so that when they close their eyes on this side, that they open them in the bosom of the Lord, that they are face to face with Jesus Christ and they're headed on to heaven. What will you do? What will you sacrifice for their soul? Because when they grow, when they're growing up, a lot of times, in especially in this day and age, our focus and our what we want to see for our children is success. We want them to have academic success, financial success, these kind of things. And this is our focus. So we have them try to put them in the best schools. We put them in sports, and we got them running around every afternoon and on the weekends. And we're just pushing them to do all kinds of cheerleading and basketball and baseball, and we're in 100% in, because we want them to have a good life right here on earth. So we try to set them up by letting them get involved or encouraging them to be involved in all of these different things. But we don't have the same energy when it comes to the things of God. When it comes to those things of God's mothers, we have to have that same energy. If you know you're not going to miss a game, won't let them miss practice because they might not be able to play, won't let them miss this and won't let them miss that for the game. But when you have those activities that are going on at church, or if it's Bible study night, you don't take the child. Are you doing that? Are you taking the child to those things that are going on at within the house of God? Are you making them participate in the things of God? Do you have that same fervor and passion for the things and the activities that are going on in the kingdom? Are you pushing your child in that direction? Are you making them read the word? Are you discussing the word of God with them? Where is that? Where is that on the priority scale for you? So as mothers, we have a huge job, a big job that I don't take lightly, and I know that you don't take lightly. But I want to encourage you to do like the Shunammite woman. But I want you to be that concerned of not just about their natural life, but about their soul. Their soul, their eternal life. Because all of us, including our children, have an eternal life. And we're going to spend it somewhere. So the same focus that we have on them having a great life right here on earth, we need to have that same focus about their eternal life. What can I do as the mother of this child? What can I do to push my child in a direction to set them up for success in the kingdom? What can I do? Am I doing my part? Am I doing my part? And not focusing on things that can't do nothing to save him. Or in some cases can actually be a distraction. And don't get me wrong, I don't see anything wrong with kids participating in sports and doing all these kind of things. I think that I believe that children need to have extracurricular activities because it has its own benefits. But I don't think anything should take precedence over their spiritual lives. And so we want to train our kids to have holy habits. And in order to have holy habits, you got to try to develop that. So that's going to include a prayer life. It's going to include a study life. And then serving in the house of God. Serving. Not just serving on the soccer field or the basketball court or the football field, but serving in the house of God. Please don't put that on the back burner. Please don't. So I want to be concerned about their natural life, and I want to keep them safe concerning that, but I also want to save their souls, to have their souls saved. And as a mother, I'm going to do my part to direct them along the narrow path. And don't put nothing ahead of that. Because when it's all said and done, that's what's important. It's where they will spend eternity. That is important. So as you go forth on this Mother's Day, once again, I hope you have a lovely, lovely Mother's Day. I hope your kids bless you real good. But remember that they have been given to you for a reason. God knew that you were the perfect mother for that little angel that you were raising. So I encourage you to impart wisdom to that child and to give them the best gift that any mother could ever give to a child. And that's the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of and the relationship. You can't give them a relationship, but you certainly can nudge them in a direction where they will desire a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's all I have for you. Once again, enjoy your day. Grace and peace.